Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 15th day of March, 2022. And I'm so thrilled to have back on the program a returning guest, a man that I have known since the 1980s, who was once actually my pastor, my first pastor as a born-again Christian. The man who immersed me in the waters of baptism and trained me in the faith for my initial years growing up in the faith. When I say growing up, starting as a man in my mid-20s growing up in the faith. And I'm thrilled to have him back here on the program. He is the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, whose website is solid-ground-books.com. And today we are going to be discussing what's new in print from the finest in Christian literature. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Mike Gaidosh.
Well, thanks, Chris. Thanks for asking me to be able to join you today. I'm grateful for the opportunity. I remember fondly those early days, this long-haired young man who came strolling into church. I remember, it seemed like it was a Sunday night, might have been the first time that you came into the church, or at least it was the first time I noticed you, that evening with long hair that was very stark and striking, I should say, and you made an impression immediately, as you generally do when you walk into. I will never forget the time when I think we may have shared this with your audience.
And I know what you're going to say about the microphone falling from the pulpit.
The time that I knocked the microphone down and Chris Arnzen picks it up and he kind of looked at me and he looked at the microphone. And thankfully, he overcame his temptation and handed it back to me. But I think everybody in the congregation kind of held their breath simultaneously. Wondering what was going to immediately happen with Chris holding a microphone in the church. But we are grateful for what God has done in your life, Chris, and the way that he has been using you. I did not have an opportunity to hear the second interview, but I did hear the first one with the pastor from Ukraine, and it was really a remarkable interview, and James White, along with you, did a great job being able to help him to feel comfortable to share what was going on in his life and in his ministry and in his country in a truly incredible time in history. So I just wanted to thank you, and it's always exciting to see the opportunities that God has given you to be able to speak with pastors and theologians and experts in a variety of subjects, and I'm very, very properly, hopefully, proud of you in the way that God is using you.
Well, thank you. In fact, if anybody listening wants to hear those two interviews with Mykola Lilyavsky, who is on the faculty at Grace Bible Seminary and also on the leadership team at Grace Bible Church in Kyiv, Ukraine, just go to the archive at ironsharpensironradio.com, click on podcast past shows. And if you want to type in the search engine, Mykola, I've never interviewed anybody by that name other than Mykola Lilyavsky. So his two interviews will come up. Certainly the first one will, because it's already posted on the archive. But our webmaster has been a little behind on some of the more recent programs being posted. He does have a full-time job of his own, and he volunteers for us. So hopefully the second interview will be up either today or very soon afterward. You know, something I think would be a good idea to refresh our memories of those who know this story, but also to introduce for the first time the story of how Solid Ground Christian Books even came into existence.
Well, it actually, the foundation of Solid Ground began back in the late 1980s, early 1990s, when I was your pastor in Long Island in Amityville at the time at Calvary Baptist Church.
Yep.
And we began with a little booklet called Thoughts for Young Men by J.C. Ryle.
And I remember it well.
And that booklet is really what launched me into publishing Christian books, and particularly finding old books. Thoughts for Young Men by Ryle had not been in print by itself for almost 100 years. It had originally been published as an individual book, a small book, and you know, maybe an 80-page book. But eventually it became only available through a publication that Banner of Truth published called The Upper Room by Ryle, mm-hmm. which was about a 400 or 500-page volume. And Thoughts for Young Men was just one essay or article that was kind of inside of that volume. And unfortunately, you know, I used to have to make photocopies of just the article, and I would give it out to young men, and young men would always tell me how blessed they were by reading it. You might even have been one of them you know, in the 1980s. And I came up with the idea of kind of pulling it out of that book and giving it a life of its own.
Yep.
And we had somebody in our church who was willing to donate money to allow us to do an initial printing. And I think we originally did something like 5,000 copies, and they just sold almost immediately. It was an amazing experience mm-hmm. to see, because it hadn't been available in so long, people just ate it up, and we had people ordering 10, 20, 30 copies, and churches ordering 50 copies.
And it was timeless, even though it was a 19th century booklet originally by Ryle.
Yeah.
It was really spoke to any era.
Well, yeah, and it's one of the things that's kind of neat now for me is several years. We originally did it as a large pamphlet or booklet of whatever it was, 68 pages, and then eventually we had it retypeset and had a new cover done, and it was done as you know, a small book, but. Very nicely done. We did footnotes for it. We updated the language just a little bit, and that went through several editions, and we just saw. I mean, the number of responses that we got. I remember getting letters from Africa, pastors sharing how they had a revival breakout as a result of that particular booklet being handed
wow.
out. I remember more recently, in more recent years, getting a phone call from a new buyer for Westminster Seminary Books in Philadelphia area. And, you know, we started talking, and he had asked me how I got involved with publishing, and I just told him that story. And he said to me, he said, wait a minute, you published that booklet, the blue booklet with you know, the various people in kind of black and white on the cover? I said, yeah. He said, God used that to save me.
Wow.
In Australia. This was,
wow.
This was a man who was Korean, who is somehow in Australia, who came across this book, that we had done, and the Lord used that to bring him to faith. And you know, and I've heard stories like that again and again through the years, and it is, that's really what launched me into desiring to bring back into print old works that have been used of God in the past, but got somehow put aside and had not been available for a long time. And so that is sort of the niche that Solid Ground has begun with, and we've been doing this now for over 20 years and have about 325-30 titles now that we have published, and God just continues to use the work in ways that still surprise me. I'm just very grateful to the Lord for the opportunity. I'm no longer a pastor, but I do feel like this ministry has allowed me to minister to pastors and give them the tools that they need to be able to minister to their people.
I remember another one of the very early booklets that you published, probably the second one, was A Christmas Question by Charles Spurgeon.
Yeah, and I actually brought that back into print. It had been out of print for a while. We brought it back into print fairly recently. And, that Christmas question is taken from his sermon on Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And then he asks the question, and we put that on the very cover, has he been born to you?
Mm-hmm.
Has he been given to you? And it's a very powerful sermon by Spurgeon, and that's kind of his approach to the whole thing, is he seeks to apply that passage to the unconverted, especially, and seeking to press the gospel upon them. Yeah, there were a lot of things that we did early on, small things like that one, the Christmas question.
The Adolph Monod booklet.
That's right. We did the Adolph Monod booklet, which was the Dying Man's Regrets.
Yes.
And that actually, the Dying Man's Regrets is no longer available, but we have published the book from which that was extracted, and that is titled now Living in the Hope of Glory. And it's the farewell addresses. Monod was dying of cancer, and on his deathbed, a portion of his congregation would come into his room, and he would preach to them with the strength that God gave him. And then they would have the Lord's table together. It would be a portion of the congregation that would come into his room. He would preach to them with the strength that God gave him. And thankfully, somebody took down every one of those messages. And so, you know, we have that book. It's always been known as Monod's Farewell. And there are 25 messages that he preached over a period of, obviously, 25 weeks. And his prayer was that he would be able to complete his ministry and that he would be able to speak up to the last time. Well, the Lord took him home the Sunday morning. He had the previous Sunday, the last time that he got to speak to the people, he actually was so weak and was in so much pain from the cancer that that he prayed. He just said he didn't have the strength. In fact, this is how he begins. He says, "My dear friends, I am the one who asked our friend to read us this psalm." He read Psalm 100. And then he says, "I have no strength left to consider the love of God. God loved us. That is the entire doctrine of the gospel. Let us love God. That is its entire ethic. Scarcely knowing if I will be able to make myself heard, I gather up my small strength to invoke with you the eternal and infinite love of God." And then he just closed his ministry in prayer. "O love, who is God, who has never done, never does, and never will do anything to us except through love, how I am thankful you have enough on seeing these brothers whom love has gathered around my bed of sickness, of suffering, and of that which you alone can know. I rejoice in their love. To whom has it been better shown? Would I not be the most ungrateful of men if I were not the most grateful. That is why, my God, I give you thanks. And then he just goes and he continues his prayer, and then he closes. And that really ultimately was the end of his ministry. He closed his ministry.
Wow.
And in the midst of those were the five messages he did, A Dying Man's Regrets. And that's what I kind of extracted those five and put those in the booklet to introduce people to Minot's ministry. And now I've actually published five of his books, including Living in the Hope of Glory.
And I remember John Angel James's booklet, I believe it was called A Church Member's Duties to His Pastor.
Yes, the duties of church members to their pastor.
That's it, yeah.
That was also one of the first ones that I did, and that's been a consistently popular booklet with churches, because many times pastors find it difficult to speak about these things because it seems very self-serving.
Right.
And John Angel James, actually the chapter, Duties of Church Members to Their Pastors, is extracted from the book, which we've also published. We've published both this booklet and also the book, The Church Member's Guide. And in The Church Member's Guide, he has one chapter called The Duties of Church Members to Their Pastors. And we ended up actually combining that booklet with another one called A Plea to Pray for Pastors by Gardner Spring.
Yes, I remember that. He was in New York City, right, Gardner Spring?
Gardner Spring was a pastor of Brick Memorial Church in New York City for, I think it was 63 years. He was a pastor of the same church. Brick Memorial.
Now, was that in the 18th century? Wasn't it sometime?
Yeah. He lived from 1785 to 1873.
Okay.
So he would have pastored from like 1810 to 1873 in the same church. And John Angel James lived, he was born the same year, actually, 1785, but he died in 1859. And both of those men were just, they were incredible writers. And I don't know if you remember the story, but when I did a plea to pray for pastors, originally I did it by itself. I just did it was only five pages.
I remember that.
And I remember I'd called Pastor Al Martin from Montville, New Jersey. I called him in the morning, and because I knew that he loved Gardner Spring and he loved the book The Power of the Pulpit, and The Plea to Pray for Pastors was extracted from The Power of the Pulpit. And so I called him and asked him if he would be willing to write a little foreword or introduction. I said, it's a small little booklet, but I know that you appreciate Spring's ministry. And he said he would be happy to do that. And and unbelievably, later that same day, I get a phone call from I can't remember his first name. Masters is his last name, but he was from
Charles Spurgeon's church.
No, I'm sorry. Not Masters. No, I'm sorry. I'm saying Masters. Masters Seminary. It was from Masters Seminary.
Oh, okay.
One of the professors at Masters Seminary called and asked if it would be possible for them to order for the church. Because he was saying, John MacArthur is in the process right now of preaching through 1 Thessalonians. And we are looking ahead, and he will be coming to Brethren Pray for Us in Chapter 5 in a couple of months. And we would love to be able, he said, somehow your little booklet, A Plea to Pray for Pastors, came across my desk. And we were wondering if we could order like 2,000 copies.
I remember that. I remember that.
Pastor MacArthur could write a foreword. So he said, this is like a 5-page booklet. And I've got Al Martin and John MacArthur now going to be writing an introduction or a foreword to this. And the funniest thing was that it happened in the same day. I mean, it was just unbelievable,
yeah,
the circumstances and how God brought that about. And so I told him, I said, well, I mean, how do you turn down somebody who wants to order 2,000 copies and then also have John MacArthur write the introduction to the foreword?
Mm-hmm.
So I called Al Martin back, and I just told him, I said, this is real embarrassing, but, and I told him what happened, and he was very gracious, and he said, don't worry about it. He said, that's very understandable. He said, I would do exactly the same thing. And I told him, I said, well, I'll tell you what, you write what you're going to write, and I put what you write on the back cover, and I'll have his be the forward, which is, you know, what we did for many, many years. But it's just funny how things like that would happen in publishing, where you can't believe the timing of things like that.
Amen. Well, why don't you let our listeners know some of the new things? And when I say new things, they're not necessarily new in regard to when they were written, but they are very often very old things that are newly in print.
Yeah, well, you're right. With me, the newest are usually my newest things are very, very old. But, I mean, I've talked many times about Counsels and Thoughts. We've talked together about that. That's Counsels and Thoughts for the Spiritual Life of Believers.
Yes.
By Thomas Moore.
One of the gifts that I had you ship to the pastors, all of the pastors who were speakers at the recent True Church Conference in Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. And of course, I had found out, I didn't know who Moore was. I rarely, if ever, publish a book when I don't know about the author, but this book was so highly recommended, and I found it to be so personally satisfying, and it had such great commendations from back in the 1800s that I had no problem publishing the book, even though I did not know anything about Thomas Moore. And then Tom Nettles came across the information and found out who he was, and of course it turned out that he was an elder in Spurgeon's Park Street Chapel and Metropolitan Tabernacle, and he served alongside of Spurgeon for some 30 years in ministry. And one of his responsibilities was interviewing new believers who desired to become members of the church. And that was one of the responsibilities of the elders, of which Moore was one. And he had the opportunity of being able to sit and listen to the testimonies of hundreds and hundreds of people through those years, and probably even thousands. And this book really was written as a fruit of all those years of his both sitting at the feet of Pastor Spurgeon, but then also hearing the testimonies of people who had been, for the most part, had been converted under the preaching of Spurgeon. And so that book, Counsels and Thoughts for the Spiritual Life of Believers, is certainly one of the most significant books that we have recently published. Also, I was able to republish again, and this is not a new book, but Spurgeon's Devotional Bible.
Wow.
And Spurgeon's Devotional Bible is a pretty good size, pretty massive size volume that in which Spurgeon selected passages from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, and he put these passages, he put these readings together, the scriptural readings, he put them together in really a unique way, and you had the ability to read a reading in the morning and in the evening for every day of the year, or you could read one reading for 2 years. That's how many passages, that's how he divided up the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And he would intersperse comments kind of throughout his devotional Bible. That's what it's called, Spurgeon's Devotional Bible. And I was excited to be able to bring that into print, because God brought that into my life about 43 or 44 years ago, no, even more than that now, I guess it was 45, 46 years ago, when I first went to seminary, which would have been in January of 1976, that was the devotional that I was using in my personal walk with Christ, and had a great impact on my life at that time, and I just, within the last year, was able to bring out a new edition. It hadn't been available for some time. I mean, not like hundreds of years, but it had been several years since it had been available, and so I was very thankful that I was able to bring that back into print. And
just going back to the the book by Thomas More.
Yeah.
I interviewed Tom Nettles just about 2 weeks ago, maybe three, yeah. And he spontaneously started to rave about that book, about how valuable and wonderful it is.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, Thomas, he was so excited to discover who the man was, because he had been over. He was actually putting the finishing touches on his most recent biography of Spurgeon. I think this one is a smaller work that he did on Spurgeon. And while he was there going through archives, he suddenly was coming across the name Thomas More again and again. And he first was asking himself, where do I know that name from? I know that name. And then he remembered that I had given him the book, Counsels and Thoughts, when I'd first published it. And he loved it right away, and he kept asking me, who is this guy? Who is this guy? I said, I don't know. Nobody seems to know. Nobody over in England even knows. And so it was while he was there that he literally stumbled across his name in the archives, and it was in the place where they had the testimonies recorded of the people who had been converted under Spurgeon's ministry, and the elders who had interviewed them would write like a summary of their testimony and then sign it at the end. And he started noticing this name, Thomas More, over and over again. And then finally he realized, wait a minute, this is the same guy. And he was an elder. And then, we were able to finally do some research and find out, yes, indeed, he was. He was an elder at Park Street Church and the Metropolitan Tabernacle.
Well, we have to go to our very first station break right now. If anybody has a question for Mike Gaidosh about Solid Ground Christian Books, about any particular title that you are interested in or perhaps already own, or any other question about Christian publishing, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Mike Gaidosh right after these messages from our sponsors.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
And that was the unmistakable voice of a very dear friend of both my guest and myself, Roger Salter, who is the rector of St. Matthew's Anglican Church in Birmingham, Alabama. What a dear brother he is. Am I not correct, Brother Gator?
Oh, yeah. Roger's a dear, dear man. We actually shared the same building, worship in the same building for several years, and they're still actually worshiping in the same building. I actually was able to see Roger recently. I know you were as well. Mm-hmm. Actually, you didn't get to see
him. No, I saw his wife, Maureen, and his son, Alex, because
that's right.
Because Roger's had serious knee problems. And I have been given permission to request prayer publicly on the show for that. Sometimes Roger is absolutely immobilized by the excruciating pain that he has in his knees, and that is why he could not join his wife and his son for lunch with me when I was passing through Birmingham after the True Church Conference in Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
Yeah, I was there in the end of January after being in the Deep South Founders Conference in Mississippi, and I got to preach back in my home church there in Birmingham, and I did get to see Roger and Maureen and Alex all there before I went in to preach. They had just come out of their service. They had their worship service in the earlier part, and then we had our service afterwards. But I could tell looking at him that he was not well, and I had already been told that ahead of time. But just, you know, as sweet and dear a man as could possibly be, and what a gifted preacher, I'll tell you. He has such a way with words, and such a heart for Christ, and such a love for the doctrines of grace, the Reformed faith. And he's paid a price for standing firmly for these things in his assembly there. But, yeah.
Well, tell us about some of the new publications that are not necessarily new in their content.
Yeah. I just pulled out three more that you're familiar with. I've spoken before about Richard Newton. Richard Newton was nicknamed by Spurgeon the Prince of Preachers to the Young. And Richard Newton, he lived from 1813 to 1887, born in Liverpool, England, died in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and most of his ministry life was spent in Philly at a couple of different churches there. And he began to do a Sunday afternoon worship service once a month for young people and for children and young people. And I guess they were just actually called For the Young. And he had such an incredible gift at illustrating the truth that the children just hung on his words. And his sermons were not just little kids' sermons. I mean, his sermons were full-blown 40-minute sermons that he would preach, but the whole focus of the message was for the young. And I recently republished the very first of the series of lectures that he did on those Sundays, and it's entitled Rills from the Fountain of Life. And there are, I believe, a dozen messages, so this would have been covering one full year. And after he had done preaching these, he never intended to have these become books, but the children just demanded that these be put into print so they could go back and read them again. And that actually began the practice of his doing this, and he ended up doing it for the rest of his ministry over 30 years. And I've published, I think, 18 of his volumes. Three of them I've published fairly recently. The one is The Rills from the Fountain of Life, which was the very first book that he published. And then also the most difficult book that was so hard to find an old copy of was called The Beauty of the King. And these are sermons for children on the riches of the grace and the wonders of the love of Christ. And what what I love about Newton is when you read the stories that he tells and the illustrations that he uses for his sermons, they bring you to tears, and you just wonder, where did he find these? I mean, he lived, obviously, way, way before Internet and the ability to search out things like we have today, and yet somehow he had this just a plethora of illustrations that he used. And even though these are sermons for children and young people, pastors and families, these would be great to be able to use in family worship. In fact, many, many people have told me that they have been using these in family worship. And so there's the Rills from the Fountain of Life, The Beauty of the King, and then the third one is Five Giants and How to Fight Them, Lessons for Children of All Ages. And there's a picture of David and Goliath on the cover. And but he deals with the giants that he is dealing with here are giants of heathenism, selfishness, covetousness, ill temper, and intemperance. Those are the giants that he looks at. And then he has a whole series on the reason for fighting these giants. And then he has one on the good soldiers, the conquering jewels, the wonderful eyes, acknowledging God, and the cure for care. There's no possible way to exaggerate how good these sermons are. And pastors would do well to read them, to study them, and to imitate him in the way that he illustrated the truth of God.
And I know that you have been promoting on Facebook some literature booklets.
Yeah.
One is The Fear of God,
yeah.
The Soul of Godliness,
yes,
by John Murray, and you have others there as well.
Yeah, the one of the things that we did early on at Calvary Press when I was pastoring back in Long Island, when I first started publishing, we started to do these small things. We already mentioned a couple of them, the duties of church members and the Christmas question and the dying man's regrets. We did those because, again, those were easily done. And we have found many times, and I have found that it's a good way to introduce people to authors, to subjects, and to material in books. An example would be the one you mentioned, The Fear of God by John Murray, which is subtitled The Soul of Godliness. And this is taken out of, it's extracted from, it's a full chapter in the book Principles of Conduct by John Murray. And the Principles of Conduct is subtitled Aspects of Biblical Ethics by Murray. And The Fear of God is extracted from that particular book, and it is just masterful. Joel Beakey said regarding it, John Murray's booklet on the fear of God, the theme that desperately needs to be resurrected today, is the best short treatment of this subject anywhere in the English language. Buy this booklet in bulk and give a copy to each of your friends. It can do them and the church immeasurable good. And that is one of the things. Murray is one of my favorite authors. And that particular book, Principles of Conduct, is just a wonderful treatment on biblical ethics. But this one standalone chapter, The Fear of God, The Soul of Godliness, is just absolutely wonderful. I also have another chapter that I extracted. I had to get permission from the publishers to do these, but John Murray, a book that I was given when I was in seminary probably 45 years ago, I was introduced to Murray through the book Redemption, Accomplished, and Applied.
Oh, yeah.
And that booklet, or that book, was really instrumental in helping me to sort through many, many different issues in my own understanding of biblical doctrine. And what I did is I got permission to be able to extract one chapter and then the conclusion of part one of the book, entitled For Whom Did Christ Die? And the chapter was entitled The Extent of the Atonement.
One of the most controversial issues in the church for centuries.
Absolutely. And in fact, even amongst Calvinists, there are many Calvinists who will call themselves four-point Calvinists,
right,
four-and-a-half-point Calvinists. And whenever anybody uses that kind of terminology, you don't have to ask them, which is the four, which of the 5 points do you struggle with?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, nobody's a four-point Calvinist and doesn't hold to total depravity, or doesn't hold to unconditional election, or doesn't hold to perseverance of the saints. The only one that they would be struggling with, because I know I myself did, I struggled with it myself, because I struggled with the universal texts, and in fact, I love the way Murray begins. He begins, do we have time for me to just read a paragraph?
Oh yeah, definitely.
This is how Murray begins. He says, the question of the extent of the atonement is simply, for whom did Christ make atonement? In even simpler language, it is, for whom did Christ die? Now, it might appear that the Bible gives an unambiguous answer to the effect that Christ died for all men. For we read in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It would be easy to argue that the denotation of the all in the last clause is just as extensive as the number of those who have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. If so, the conclusion would be that the Lord laid on his son the iniquity of all men, and that he was made an offering for the sin of all. Again, we read, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man, Hebrews 2:9. And it might be said that John puts the question beyond all debate when he says in 1 John 2:1, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. He then says, we are not to think, however, that the quotation of a few texts like these and several others that might be quoted determines the question. From beginning to end, the Bible uses expressions that are universal in form, but cannot be interpreted as meaning all men distributively and inclusively. Such words as world and all, and such expressions as every one and all men, do not always in Scripture mean every member of the human race. For example, when Paul says, with reference to the unbelief of Israel, for if their trespass is riches of the world, how much more their fullness? Are we to suppose that he meant that the trespass of Israel brought the riches of which he is speaking to every person who had been, is now, and ever will be in the world? Such an interpretation would make nonsense. The word world would then have to include Israel, which is here contrasted with the world. And it is not true that every member of the human race was enriched by the fall of Israel. When Paul used the word world here, he meant the Gentile world, as contrasted with Israel. The context makes this abundantly plain. So we have an example of the word world used in a restricted sense and does not mean all men distributively. And then he goes on and argues and reasons from the scriptures that in the end of the day, like John Owen has said, if Christ died for all men, that is, if he made an atonement, if he paid the penalty for their sin, if he was their propitiation, well, then nobody can be lost, because God can't twice demand payment for that sin. And Murray goes on and explains how important it is for us to know, before we even understand the extent of the atonement, we need to understand the nature of the atonement. What exactly does it mean that Christ died for sinners? What does that mean? And he goes and he explains that as he works through that material.
In fact, I think one of the greatest challenges that I have witnessed, especially from those that claim allegiance to some form of Calvinism, but the teaching of particular redemption or definite atonement or limited atonement is too high a hurdle for them to get past. I have found over and over again, and I hope I don't insult anyone in this category right now, but it seems to be And of course, this is not the words they would use, but it seems to be based in a lot of sentimentalism, and they cannot imagine abandoning a formula of evangelism that has been at the very core of their evangelism, and that is approaching either total strangers or people who are obviously lost and saying to them, Jesus loves you and died for you.
Well, I think you're right, Chris. I think that is, in many ways, really the heart of it. That that when you boiled down the gospel to God loves you, Christ died for you, and then you're told, then you're suddenly told, well, did Christ die for them? Do you know that for a fact? And it causes people at times to stumble over their own words and wondering, well, how do I present Christ if I don't know that Christ died for them particularly? And so, I would agree with you. And I remember when I was in seminary and I was studying through the book of Acts, and I remember one time I basically locked myself in the library and I spent hours and hours and I was just poring over the book of Acts. And one thing I noticed, and it was quite remarkable, that the word love never appears in the book of Acts in any of its forms.
Mm-hmm.
And never, now, and you could ask people, say, well, if you're going to go to a book in the Bible, in the New Testament, where we would find the gospel being preached most effectively, where would it be? Well, obviously, it's the book of Acts. Right? I mean,
right.
It's got to be the book of Acts.
It's like a blueprint.
and it's an historical blueprint for us of how the gospel is preached in fulfillment of Christ's words at the end of Luke and at the beginning of Acts, that there were to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And repentance and faith was to be preached in Christ's name to all the nations. Well, when you go through and read the book of Acts, you will never once find God loves you in the gospel presentations or Christ died for you. It's never once mentioned. And when you find used in the scriptures over and over again, things like Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. The Son of Man came as a ransom for many. And just the various language that is used, I love my sheep, and I lay down my life for my sheep.
In fact, could you pick up right where you left off, because we have to go to our midway break right now.
Sure.
Please don't forget the laying down of Christ's life for his sheep. We are going to our midway break, folks. Please be patient. It's the longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they are required by the FCC to air their own public service announcements. And that is in order to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and all of their programming geographically to Lake City, Florida, which is an FCC requirement. So while they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Send in questions to Mike Gaidosh at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and also write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to them. We hope that very often you purchase their products, use their services, visit their churches, or support their parachurch organizations. But when you cannot do any of those, please, at the very least, contact our advertisers and thank them for sponsoring this show, if indeed you are grateful that somebody is paying for this show and keeping it in existence. If you are happy about that, then please thank our sponsors for that, because without them, we would not exist. So respond to our advertisers, write down the information provided by them, and send in your questions to Mike Gaidosh. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to
the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvino, and thanks for listening.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And I'm so thrilled to have the founder of solid-ground-books.com on our program today again. And Mike, I can tell you with all honesty, in regard to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the greatest joys I receive is hearing from you from time to time with the reports of about how many of our listeners are purchasing books from you, and it's just a joy.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. And I know there are more than even put down that they have come from you, but there are many that have said that, you know, I have several people that have written me and ordered books and have said thank you for supporting Iron Sharpens Iron. And so, it's truly a blessing to see how God is using us to help you and you to help us. And that's really a blessing.
Amen. So remember, folks, for all your gift-giving needs, with Easter coming up, with Mother's Day coming up, with Father's Day coming up, with wedding anniversaries, birthday celebrations, when you want to offer your condolences during the deep time of mourning that your friends, family, and loved ones may be entering into after the death of a loved one. Whatever the occasion is where you would purchase a gift, please make your first stop for gift giving solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and always mention that you heard about them from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And one other thing that I have a very fond memory of connected with you and the church where I was baptized, Calvary Baptist Church in Amityville, which is now known as Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York. But I was reminded hearing the ad for Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, where Alan Dunn is the pastor, And I remember the conference vividly, where you had Alan do a conference on the tongue.
Yes, that's right.
And for years after that, I have given out what began as audio cassette series on that conference, and then later became a CD series. I've been giving that out to people because it's been so extraordinary.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Before we return to Mike Gadosh and our discussion today on what's new in print, we just have a couple of important announcements to make. First of all, if you love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly in that fashion with a debit or credit card. You could also mail in a check the old-fashioned way through the local postal service to the address, the physical address that will appear on your screen as well when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. As I have said before, please don't give your own church where you are a member less money in order to bless us financially, because we are founded on one of the pillars is to be a helping hand and a platform to the faithful local pastor and the faithful local church. So we do not want to ever harm the faithful local pastor or church in any way, including financially. So please don't give your own church less to give us a gift, and also don't take food off of your own family's dinner table if you're really struggling to survive. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, and you love this show, and you don't want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, folks, if you're not a member of a local Christ-honoring, doctrinally sound, biblically faithful church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of faithful churches, and I may be able to help you find a church, just as I have done many times all over the world. I may be able to help you find a church, sometimes even with minutes from your house, that you didn't even know existed, or you passed by the church every day and you didn't know it was a faithful church. So if you are in that category of being without a biblically faithful church home, no matter where you live, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, "I need a church," in the subject line. I may be able to help you or someone you love find a church that is biblically sound anywhere in the world. And last but not least, if you are a man in ministry leadership, a pastor, an elder, and I believe that's the same office, by the way, folks, a deacon, a parachurch leader, well, as long as you're a man in ministry leadership, you have been invited to a free pastor's luncheon, the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon, and it's going to be held on Thursday, April 7th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, just about 20 minutes from Carlisle, Pennsylvania. The speaker will be Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, who is also founder and president of the Historical Bible Society. And not only will he be giving a lecture on how we received the Bible in the English language, he will also have on display a portion of the Historical Bible Society's collection of very rare and ancient and historically significant Bibles and books of antiquity. And that will include a first edition 1611 King James Bible, a first edition Fox's Book of Martyrs illustrated, and a page from the first book ever printed, the Gutenberg Bible, and others. So please, if you want to attend this free event, absolutely free of charge, including a free lunch, send your email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. And that's Thursday, April 7th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. And that's also the email address to send in a question to Mike Gadosh, chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. We do have an anonymous listener who says, "I am remaining anonymous because I am trying to convince the church where I am a member to start their own publishing ministry. And I was wondering if you wouldn't mind providing for us, some of the mistakes that you may have made in publishing that you learned greatly from."
Wow. That's a good question.
Well, I can tell you a hilarious example of that. That was
involve you somehow?
No. And it doesn't even involve Solid Ground Christian Books.
Oh.
My friend, the late John Riesinger, who's now in heaven, I remember him telling the audience at one of his conferences that he had a friend who had spent thousands of dollars reprinting a booklet by J.C. Ryle. And he didn't sell any of these booklets because the man insisted on using the original title that J.C. Ryle chose, and that was Letters to a Gay Friend. So it turned out to be...
Serious? Was that actually happened? Did that actually happen?
Well, John Riesinger said it actually happened.
That's funny. Yeah, well, I never had anything quite that bad that happened, but I would say that I would always recommend if a church wants to start to do something like this, I would always say start small. Start small. Find something, and it really depends. There's so much that's now available. I wouldn't question doing it, but I would say just be cautious because it can be very, very expensive if you don't do things the right way. And I think that I would always encourage, if you're going to start doing something in publishing, as whether you're a church ministry or just even an individual, I would make sure that you do your homework and make sure that you've got a good printer. You have to be able to do good typesetting and editing work done. And you also have to do a lot of research to find out. I mean, my question would always be, why? Why would you feel like you want to do something yourself when there's so much that's available already? And if you're finding things that are not available, now, for instance, if a church wants to start to do some of their pastor's sermons or, you know, things along those lines, you know, that would be something that would make sense. But I would just say if you're going to start something like this, start small. Take a small project, see how it goes, you know, rather than trying to take on some big, huge project. I can tell you, we avoided a mistake early on. Stepping Heavenward is a book that was one of the first books that we published at Calvary Press by Elizabeth Prentice. And I had found a copy of Stepping Heavenward, which is an old copy, but it turns out it was kind of an abridged volume from probably the early 1900s. And we were considering initially doing that because it would have been a little bit less money because it was a little smaller, but we're so thankful that we never did that, that we ended up instead saying, you know what, this book is so good that we need to get the original and retypeset it and get a nice cover on it. And that's what we ended up doing, and thousands and thousands and thousands of copies are sold, and God has used it to bless people all over the world, Stepping Heavenward by Elizabeth Prentice. So that would be my recommendation. Just start small, and this way you're not going to make any major, major mistakes. Do we have time? I have a couple things I wanted to point
out. Oh, yeah. In fact, you were in the middle of talking about definite atonement. I forgot about that.
Yes. And what I had just said was that the Lord said in John that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. And then he looked at some who were around him and said, you are not my sheep. Well, Christ is making it pretty clear when he says, I lay down my life for my sheep. And then he looks at some and says, you are not my sheep. It sounds to me as if he's telling them, I'm not laying down my life for you. That is for unbelievers, those who have rejected me. And there are so many examples of that. And it's really important to note the perfection of the atonement and the nature of the atonement. And that's what Murray does brilliantly in Redemption Accomplished and Applied. And in the book Redemption Accomplished and Applied, it's almost like two separate books. The first is about a third of the book, and it's on Redemption Accomplished. And then the second part is on the Redemption Applied, and that deals with all the issues of the application of redemption by the Holy Spirit. And I think that what really began to change my mind and my understanding of definite atonement was focusing on the nature of the atonement. What exactly did Jesus do? What does the scripture say Jesus did? What does it mean when it says he died for our sins? What does that mean, that he took our place? What is this substitutionary atonement? What is it all about? And when you, the more you focus on the nature of the atonement and the perfection of the atonement, the more you realize that, as John Owen would say, you really only have two options. Christ, if Christ died for everyone, then everyone will be saved. And that would even have to include Judas. And, or he died for his own, and everyone for whom he died will be saved. And that is the position that Owen came to. That's the position that I came to. And that's the position that's espoused by John Murray.
And wouldn't you say, as other great men other than myself have said, that the only alternative is that you really don't believe Jesus saved a single soul on Calvary. He made men savable.
Well, you're right. In fact, that was a great segue, Chris. I remember... I had a professor in seminary, I won't mention his name, but he was as strong, when people say, oh, you can't really be a four-point Calvinist. Well, he was a true four-point Calvinist in that he very strongly held to the other 4 points, and he held what he called a hypothetical universalism. I'll never forget listening to a couple of students, fellow students, at the end of the lecture that he spoke about limited atonement, and his view was unlimited. Two men, I overheard them say, "Well, I guess Jesus did not accomplish on the cross what I thought he did." And I walked away thinking, "Wow, you know what? They actually got it. They're right. If what he just said is true, then I guess Jesus did not do what I thought he did on that cross." Because a person saying, for instance, the words of Galatians 2:20, which happened to be the words that God used 47 years ago to open my eyes and turn me from darkness to light, "For I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, when Paul said that, he spoke in the most personal terms. He would use terms like he died for the world, he died for all. But here he says he died, he loved me and gave himself for me. And if a person truly believes that Christ died for everyone equally in the same way, then those words can be taken upon the lips of Judas and of everyone else who suffers eternally in hell. And of what does that mean? What does that accomplish then? The fact that he loved me and gave himself for me doesn't accomplish anything if I'm still in hell. And that would be the truth if their position is accurate.
And the same thing with the universal love of Christ. Obviously, there are differences even amongst Calvinists about if Christ loves everyone, and of course, with a Calvinist would always believe that if he does love everyone in some way, he certainly doesn't love everyone as a parent or as a spouse.
Yeah.
Those are the only those who are in the church are loved by God as a child or as God as a parent or a spouse.
And that's why I think that you have, when you have the language, you have that kind of language that is used in the scriptures, that which is parental and familial language, where the Lord, Paul tells us, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And there's that particular love again. A husband, I think it was William Hendrickson who said, God loves all men in some ways, but he loves only his elect in all ways.
Amen.
There is a love that, you know, there's a depth and a breadth to the love of God that is much broader and much deeper than I think we think.
And if an Arminian interpretation of that was true, it should have been reworded by Paul that husbands love your wives and every other woman on the planet, just yeah. as Christ loved the church and everybody else on the planet.
You know, it doesn't
make any sense.
No, it really doesn't. And I think, but again, those are issues that I just encourage people to go back and focus on both the nature of the atonement and the perfection of the atonement. And Murray's book, Redemption Accomplished and Applied, would be really, really helpful along those lines. Do you have a minute for me to tell you about another book here?
Definitely.
It's not a book I published, but it's a book that I've been selling.
Yes.
And it's by Sinclair Ferguson. I call him my favorite living author. He has done a book called To Seek and to Save, Daily Reflections on the Road to the Cross. And what he does is he actually has, I think it's 40 devotional chapters in which he follows Jesus onto Jerusalem. And he begins with Luke chapter 9, and he does a travel log, basically, of Jesus focusing his attention on, says he fixed he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And those words, when the day drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. That's 9:51. And this book that Ferguson wrote just beautifully goes through, and it's actually written for this very time of the year for people to read and to meditate on the atoning work of Christ and all the people that he came in contact with from Luke 9:51 all the way to the cross. And it's just, as everything that Ferguson does, it's just masterfully done, masterfully written. And if anybody would like copies of that, we have that right now, actually, at a very, very good price.
By the way, people are clamoring and demanding that you bring into print James White's book about me, Is That Moron My Brother? So,
yeah, I think we've got the perfect cover for it—the one where you're jumping out of the dumpster.
I have showed people that photograph, and it looks exactly like me.
It does look like you.
Yeah, exactly like me.
A few years ago.
We have a mutual friend of ours, Grady, in Asheboro, North Carolina, who has a question. Greetings, brothers. Brother Mike, are you looking at publishing any complete sets of anything soon, or do you have any publications that you're waiting to see how many people are interested in it if it will be published?
That's a good question, Grady. As far as the multiple works, there are many things that I would love to do, but as is true with most publishers right now, we're very reluctant to make commitments to multi-volume sets because of the amount of money that has to be laid out. I do know that some publishers are beginning slowly. The Reformation Heritage has begun to do some multi-volume sets. But many of the publishers who have done them in the past at the present time have decided not to do any more. It's just the commitment of finances is very risky, especially with what's going on right now in the world. So I think many of us are actually waiting and just waiting to see what's going to be happening. I've got a couple things that I'm looking at possibly doing, but I don't want to say what they are right now because it's too early on. But maybe I can talk to Grady about that privately and personally.
Well, it's providential that you mentioned Sinclair Ferguson as your favorite living author, because Grady and I are heading down to Orlando next week to the Ligonier Conference in Orlando, and Sinclair is one of the speakers on the roster.
Wow. Oh, that's great. That's great. You know, that's not too far from where I live, actually, but I don't think I will be able to make it. I've got, unfortunately, a very busy schedule right now, but say hello to him for me. I know that he said whenever he heard my voice, he would break out into a cold sweat. That's the... he would always say, I know Mike Adosh is going to ask me to do something that I have never done before.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to approach the speakers. I've never been to a Ligonier conference, believe it or not. Oh, let me take that back. I've never been to a Ligonier national conference in Orlando. I've been to Ligonier conferences in Pennsylvania and New York City. But I've never been to the national conference in Orlando, and so I'm looking forward to this first time experience.
Now, were you going to say that they don't let you speak to the?
No, I'm saying I don't know. I'm hoping that the speakers are approachable in some way. And
I'm sure they are. Well, especially Sinclair. I'm sure he would just love to chat with you.
Well, I asked him when he was. The last time he was at Grace Baptist Church in Carlisle, when he was speaking there for a Reformation conference, during a time of refreshment afterwards, I said to him, Sinclair, I've asked you for many years to be a guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and you've never either responded or accepted my invitation.
I know exactly what he said.
What did he say, in your opinion, or in your telepathy or prophecy, what did he say?
Well, I know that he says, brother, I don't do that. I don't do radio. I'm not. I don't do interviews.
He actually said, what he said was, well, ordinarily I would do that, but I loathe that sort of thing.
Well, that's pretty close to what I'm thinking. I loathe that sort of thing. That's right. Oh, by the way, when is the next break going to be coming?
The next is going to be our final break in about 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got time for these two things. You had mentioned earlier about people going through difficult times, challenging times. And one book that I've not really promoted much lately, which is really an excellent, excellent work, it's called The Bow in the Cloud, subtitled Springs of Comfort in Times of Deep Affliction. And this has contributions from some of the greatest authors of the 19th century. James Buchanan, who's best known for the Doctrine of Justification that he did. He has The Chastening Rod in the Father's Hand. This is this first part of the book is the section is titled Affliction. Then the next chapter is done by J.W. Alexander of Princeton, a brilliant, brilliant pastor and preacher. And he had an article on uses of chastisement. Then Octavius Winslow, that probably many of your readers would know of, Jesus Veiling His Dealings. Then there's a section on resignation by Philip Doddridge, titled Silent Suffering, another by Bacon Stevens, Songs in the Night Season, another by James Buchanan again, The Wellspring in the Desert, and then Octavius Winslow, The Weaned Child. Then there's one on Comfort by Archbishop Layton, The Refuge from the Storm, Henry Venn, The White-Robed Throng, and then the next section, Leaning on the Beloved, Edward Payson, the great preacher, revival preacher in the early...
Elizabeth Prentice's father, right?
Exactly. Elizabeth Prentice's father, Edward Payson, was... He did an article entitled Christ, a Man of Sorrows. Then Robert Candlish wrote Christ at Bethany. And James Buchanan again, Christ, the Key Holder of the Eternal World. And then finally, Sleeping in Jesus, John Newton, The Sun Going Down While Yet Day, and then Stevens, Bacon Stevens, The Morning Flower Plucked. And these are just wonderful. They're, each one of them is also concluded with a well-selected poem that, that concludes the material in that particular article. But that's called The Bow in the Cloud. And then the other one I wanted to mention, which I think I probably mentioned before, but it's been a long time, Dr. Mike DeMayo, chiropractor from Long Island. Mike DeMayo had discovered this old book and asked me, he handed it to me one day and said, would this be useful? And it was the book entitled Christ in Song, Hymns of Emmanuel from All Ages, compiled by Philip Schaff. And, and I took it home and I looked it over and I realized, I said, wow, this thing is unbelievable. And what it is, Philip Schaff was a church historian, and in the middle to late 1800s, what he did is he went through and he categorized these hymns of Emmanuel, these hymns of Christ, and he broke them up into two parts. The first part was Christ for us, and then he has that divided as follows. This is Christ for us. He has a whole series of hymns that were written on the advent of Christ, and then a series of hymns on the incarnation, and then on the infant Savior, then the Epiphany, then Christ's life and example, then on the Passion, the Burial, the Resurrection, the Ascension, and then Christ in Glory, His intercession and reign, and Christ judging the world. Now that's the first half of the book. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of hymns for almost every one of those categories. And what's beautiful about the way he did this is every one of those sections, the Advent, the Incarnation, they are chronologically organized so that, for instance, the very first hymn is entitled, O Thou Redeemer, and it was written by Ambrose. Ambrose is the man who led Augustine to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it, the title, the date on that is 397.
Wow.
Titled, O Thou Redeemer. And then under the Incarnation, it's got A Great and Mighty Wonder by Anatolius that was written in 450 A.D. And then Prudentius, Of the Father's Love Begotten, which was in 405. And then, of course, he comes all the way up to having the hymns of John Milton and Isaac Watts and Charles Wesley and Philip Doddridge, you know, all on that theme. And then he does this all the way through. He's got dozens on the Passion of Christ, on the Resurrection of Christ. Again, going all the way back to John of Damascus in 787, and from the Latin of the 12th century, from the Latin of the 15th century, Isaac Watts, Martin Luther, and then that's the first half. Then the second half of the book is entitled Christ in Us, and it's the love of and the loveliness of Christ, Christ our refuge and strength, Christ our peace, faith in Christ, union with Christ, the Holy Communion, love and the gratitude of Christ, and then forever with Christ and praise and adoration of Christ. And once again, you have hymns by Clement of Alexandria, dated at 200, John Calvin, Isaac Watts, Charles Wesley.
Wow.
It's amazing.
How big is this book?
What's that?
How large is this book?
It's 575 pages.
Wow.
And it is just a masterful book. It really is.
So you're bringing that back into print?
No, I've got it. It's already available.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this has been available for a while. I just, again, it's one of those books that I haven't really taken the time. When you have 300 and almost 50 titles, and then also you're distributing other titles from other publishers, you just don't have the time to emphasize all of them. But that book, Christ in Song, is just, it's just a masterpiece. We're going to actually be having our worship leaders over this Thursday for dinner, and I'm going to be giving them a copy of this so that they can see the riches of Christian hymnology that goes all the way back to the early centuries. And
I heard the most ancient, rare, and valuable volume that you possess is your high school yearbook.
Oh, you are. Have you had enough coffee to drink, Chris?
We have Mike from Monroe, New York. This should cheer you up because of that, after that insult. Michael Gaydosh, the man who once preached the best sermon to start the pastor's conference at Trinity Baptist Church way back when. It is indeed sweet to hear your voice, brother.
Wow.
Mike from Monroe, New York, his question is, how big of a market is there for the great old writers today? And then he has something else that I'll read.
I'd say that the market is pretty substantial, honestly. There is I have found that a lot of young men and women have begun to rediscover these works. And so just like the Doctrines of Grace, you know, books on the Doctrines of Grace back, you know, many, many years ago, the listenership was pretty restricted. But I think people are rediscovering the value of these. And I'm not talking about, because of my company being so tiny and we don't have the money to be able to advertise things, except for Iron Sharpens Iron, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not selling like tens of thousands of copies of these books, but for a small publisher doing what we're doing and also seeing what others are doing, I'd say there is a growing market. It's not what it could be. I still think that there are, you know, it would be great if there were more people that were excited about the older writers, but I would say that there is a growing audience. You have the people that have been studying them for years, but then you have many of the newer ones that are coming along. And I think if pastors would quote these men and then even have a book table to introduce people to these men, I think that it would become even a more productive kind of thing, getting these books out.
His last comment / question is, Pilgrim Publications finally closed down, and I am afraid the full collection of Spurgeon sermons will never be available again. Are you aware of this, and what do you think?
Well, I am aware of it, and I'm sad. The problem is I'm assuming there must be somebody who is close to that family and who has stepped in to try to recover and keep this thing alive.
This is the Ross family?
Yes. And I don't know. I really don't know what's to become of the works. I think because of the day and age in which we live and e-books and things of this nature, it's going to be tough to have somebody that's, because we're talking now, what is it, 60 some volumes that they at one time had. I don't remember the exact number, but it's something like 63. But honestly, I don't know. I don't know. I've not heard from anyone what's going to happen. But just pray that the Lord will keep these things available and raise up somebody that can maybe fund these and get somebody. If I had the funds, I could do it, but you know, I just don't have the funds.
I remember that family were, when I worked part-time at Calvary Press, they were customers and would order Calvary Press publications to sell.
Yeah, that's right. You're right.
And we are going to our final break right now, and if you have a question, send it in immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com, ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state and country of residence. We'll be right back with Mike Gaydosh, so do not go away.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. there's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more, or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
I'm James White.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. We almost aired a very old, out-of-date ad by James White. That was promoting something that happened years ago. But anyway, let me just first quickly remind our listeners or inform our listeners about tomorrow's and Thursday's and Friday's programs. Tomorrow, we have Ryan Denton on the program discussing his new book, Augustine the Evangelist. On Thursday, we have D. Scott Meadows joining us for the first time to discuss his booklet, A Call to Pure Worship. And on Friday, we have Gary DeMar, whose voice you just heard moments ago in an ad for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Gary DeMar, founder and president. Well, actually, he's not the founder, but he's the president of American Vision. And he is going to be discussing, does Russia have a role to play in biblical prophecy? So that will be an interesting program, no doubt, and very controversial. And also, folks, don't forget about the free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon for all men in ministry leadership, Thursday, August 7th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, just about 20 minutes from Carlisle. And if you could send me an email if you're interested, that would be chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. And it dawned on me, Mike, that you were the speaker at least the first four or five of my Pastor's Luncheon in the 1990s. Wow. And that was the brainchild, as you know, of my precious late wife, Julie. It was her idea to start having these annual Pastor's Luncheons, which have now become biannual, even on some occasions, triannual luncheons. And I remember we first began them at the Outback Steakhouse in Lindenhurst, Long Island.
Wow. Well, you've got a great memory. I tell you, people are telling me things that I did that I'm assuming that they're right.
Well, that was definitely true. And I can remember how fascinated I was that even hardcore King James only independent fundamentalist Baptists who came, and there were quite a number of them that used to come every year, they loved your preaching, even though you were not in their camp, and they usually don't admit that kind of thing.
Well, that's nice.
But if you could now summarize with the last 3 minutes of the show what you most want our audience to remember about Solid Ground Christian Books.
Well, it's not about Solid Ground Christian Books so much as what I would like them to remember about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he has meant to me, what he has meant to you. You know, our lives apart from Christ are a wreck. He has picked us up and dusted us off and has been gracious to use us in his merciful kindness. And I've just had the privilege once again of starting to do a study here in Florida on the book of Ephesians. And that's the book that I preached when I first became pastor of Calvary Baptist starting in February. It would have been 40 years ago exactly that I began as pastor at Calvary Baptist after serving as interim. And you will remember, Chris, that for many, many years, at the end of every service, I would always conclude the doxology with the words, "And now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or even think, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."
Amen. I remember it well.
And those words, I've seen those played out over and over and over again, and I'm grateful for the privilege of being able to serve, to be able to support Iron Sharpens Iron, to be able to stand alongside of you, and you've been a good friend, and I've appreciated that for many years, and your listeners have been a blessing to me and have been an encouragement to me through the years as well.
Well, you have certainly proven to be a very valuable friend and brother in Christ, and I'm thrilled to know that we have maintained a friendship all these years, because that does not always occur, even amongst the most seasoned of Christians. Somehow or other, friendships just fade away from memory, even though they may have been at one time close. And but I'm glad that it has not occurred with us. And I want to repeat your website for our listeners. It's solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. And please, folks, order generously, and remember to always mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making your purchases, and not only replenish your own library, and not only for self-edification, but also to bless those that you love for Easter, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and a host of other events that you celebrate. And I want everybody to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.